Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org.
So our focus here at Westview during this season is around the songs that we find in Scripture that are related to this Advent and Christmas moment that's upon us. And really what their lyrics are saying and what their lyrics are speaking to us about this critical and eternity-altering thing that God is doing in and amongst us. And so a couple weeks ago when we began Advent, we looked at what we called our own song, as expressed by the words of the prophet Micah. And we heard those lyrics of yearning and longing and waiting in this Advent moment for something more, something better to be. And we also heard the prophet talk about the promised one who is to come. A promised one who will reign and who will lead in the strength of the Lord, in whom we will live securely. Really what Advent all speaks to. And then last week we looked at Mary's song, which is called the Magnificat. Her opening line, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord." And we heard Mary say, "We glorify God because God has been mindful and God has extended mercy and God has done mighty things." Now today we're going to hear the song from Zechariah's recently freed lips. Zechariah is a faithful priest. He's serving God in the temple when an angel appears to him and tells him that his wife Elizabeth is going to be with child. Now, this comes as a shock to Zechariah because he and Elizabeth have achieved senior citizen discount status. And they have no kids. And so Zechariah is a little befuddled by this. He's a little surprised by this. He's hesitant with this, and it actually leads him to be mute. He's not able to speak until the time comes when the child is born, and he gives the name of the child John, as in John the Baptist. And in a verse right before what we're going to look at today, up in verse 64, you want to look there with me, please. He names the child John, and immediately, verse 64, it says, "Immediately his mouth was open, and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God." And we hear his praises of God in this song. And so we're going to invite Micah to come on up, and he is going to read our scripture passage for us today.
Luke 1:67 through 79. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to his father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the path of peace."
Very good. Great job, Micah. Thank you so much for reading our passage for us today. Praise be to the Lord. Would you say that with me? Praise be to the Lord. 28 times in Scripture, those specific words open a passage. Praise be to the Lord. 10 of those times are in the Psalms alone. 27 of those times are in the Old Testament, which means the one time in all the New Testament is right here. Say it again with me, please. Praise be to the Lord. And that's fitting, isn't it? Because this is a crossover moment where Old Testament promises are becoming New Testament fulfillment, where the thing that was looked for and what was longed for and what was yearned for will now come to pass. This is indeed a moment worthy of praising God. And Zechariah leads the way. With those recently loosened lips, he's filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and he prophesies about the significance of this moment and what his son will do and how his son will play a part in this and how his son will help usher forth promise to fulfillment, hope to reality, faith to sight. Praise be to the Lord indeed. Let's say it one more time. Praise be to the Lord. Praise be to the Lord, because God has come. There is so much being said in those three little words. And we might look at them and not think too much of them, because they sound so Christmassy, yes? God has come. He's come to be with us, the Son of God, in the flesh, the fancy theological word, the incarnation. Right? This is the whole premise of Christmas, yes? And yet this particular word for has come is filled with incredible significance. The word is, and I got to get it right here, hold on just a second. Episkepsido. There it is. I got it. Mike, are you glad this word was not in your scripture passage? But guess what, Mike? I'm going to have them all say it in just a second, as soon as I can say it right. Episkepsido. That's it. Episkepsido. That's how you say it. Say it with me, please, while I still got it. Episkepsido. One more time. Episkepsido. Very, very good. That word, episkepsido, references a visit to come in which to have care for. Even more, it's a visit in which to look after the ill or to go and inspect in order to help. And that reminds me of something that really was of common practice throughout all of history until probably the last 80 years or so. The doctor visit. Did we know that from ancient times all the way until about the mid-20th century, this was a common practice where the doctor visit meant the doctor visited the sick person in the sick person's residence? We've heard this before. We know this. According to some of the stuff I was reading this week, 1930s, about 40% of doctor-patient connection happened in the patient homes. 1930s, that's only 90 years ago. By 1980, it was less than 1%. Now I'm told there's a little bit of a resurgence of that today. Episkepsido. And there's such an important significance of what that word is and what that implies. And the action that God has come. What that implies is that God is coming. That infers then, we can imply that we have a need then, yes? That we are not well, that we are sick, we got a bug, each and every one of us has a bug, and that bug is sin. We are in need of a doctor's visit. And it's not so that the doctor can prescribe antibiotics for the sore throat, but so that we might have the forgiveness of sins and the cleansing of unrighteousness, so that we can be forgiven. You know, forgiveness today always so much feels like, oh, we're just going to give the person a pass when they wronged us. It's okay. It's fine. You know, that we kind of boil down forgiveness to that. But really, biblical forgiveness is about the restoration of a relationship. And because of that sickness that we have of sin, we have an estranged relationship with God. And yet what does God do? He comes. He comes to us to care and to help, to heal and to forgive, to restore, so that our relationship with him might be made whole yet again. That is a reason to sing praise be to the Lord. God has come. And this praiseworthy act of God is captured by what Zechariah says next. He says, he has come and has redeemed his people. Now, that word there, redeemed, it means to release from captivity or to release from bondage. It means to a liberation or a deliverance. And Zechariah's song here that we heard Micah just read a moment ago, along with Mary's song that we heard last week, both of those songs are filled with Old Testament allusions. And this is an enormous one. Because when we hear the word redeemed, that brings to mind the preeminent moment of God's people in the Old Testament. And that was the Exodus. Where for God's people, they had been in slavery for 400 years. And God came and delivered them. And coming out of that liberation moment, God establishes this new nation called Israel. And they have a new identity that is given to his people. People who are shaped by God's will and God's ways and God's laws. Now you and I know that our captivity is not to another nation. But we are by nature enslaved to sin. We talked about that reality last week. We have to talk about it again this week. This sin that encompasses every part of who we are to the point that we are more than sick. We are dead in sin. But God comes and God redeems. That's the great hope and that's the good news of this season, that God comes and he delivers us. He rescues us out of the darkness of sin, that long-standing enemy of ours, and God grants us this opportunity to walk in the light of life, that as redeemed people, we have a new life in Jesus Christ. The old life is gone. The new life has come. We have a new identity, as we would say. We are in Christ. We're forgiven in Christ. We are restored in Christ as the people of God. We live in a relationship with God now, and so we can walk a new path. No longer do we have to walk, as it says, in darkness. No longer do we have to walk in the shadow of death, but instead we get to walk along God's path of peace. And we can pursue wholeness and righteousness. We can follow God's will and God's ways. We can pursue it for his highest good and for his glory. And we can, as it says, we can serve him without fear. We can serve him in holiness. We can serve him in righteousness before him all of our days. God comes and he redeems. Praise be to the Lord. And God does this. He comes and he redeems. As we kind of alluded to a moment ago, through a Savior, the promised Messiah. Now, I'll be the first to admit, and you can be the second to admit, that some of Zechariah's lyrics here are a little odd, yes? I mean, look at verse 69 with me. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. That is maybe a little bit of a strange image, yes? A horn of salvation. We're not Texans, are we? We're Iowans. But when we hear about a horn, we might think of the Longhorns. Any Longhorn fans? I see one. Okay. If we think about the horn of like a Longhorn, that's actually partly correct. Not so much the physical presence of a horn, not this protruding piece out of a bull's skull, but when you think about a horn, you think about the strength. You think about the power that is encapsulated there. And so you have the strength. Now set that aside for just a second. And when we talk about raising up a horn for someone else, when we talk about raising up, it means to grant them joy. And that's very fitting today because today we light the candle of joy. And so what Zechariah is singing here is he's declaring, God has come. God has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for you and for me. What that means is that in by his strength, by God's power, there is good news of great joy for you and for me. By God's power and by God's work and his strength, there is joy and gladness for you and for me. And not only us, but for the world. And Zechariah says this comes through the house of the servant David. Now this again goes back to the Old Testament, where God had made a promise to David, a covenant. He said, David, you're always going to have someone in your family line who is going to be on the throne. Now, that got a little wonky for a little while because the nation of Israel and the nation of Judah, both of them are taken captive and both of them go to exile. And pretty much from that time on, the people of God are always under control of someone else. But that was a promise that the people emphatically held on to. It's what they yearned for. It's what they longed for. They longed for that Messiah who would come, a Savior who would come, someone who would deliver them out of this oppression. They were longing for this, and they were yearning for this, a Messiah who would come from the line of David. And that child that is in Mary's womb, the one that Zechariah's child will prepare the way for, that child who we know, his name is Jesus. He is of the line of David. He is the fulfillment of God's promises. He is the one who comes in the strength of the Lord and brings joy to all who put their hope and trust in him. Praise be to the Lord. Would you say that one more time with me? Praise be to the Lord. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, Zechariah prophesies and praises God that he has put into motion his plan of redemption, these Old Testament promises that are now New Testament realities. God is coming for those who are in need. God is coming to deliver his people from their sins and to give them a new identity as his people. God is doing this through a promised Messiah within the line of David, Jesus Christ. It's the working of God's strength, and it results in joy for all who put their hope, who find their salvation in him. Friends, this is Zechariah's song of this season. Praise be to the Lord. Amen. Let's pray together. Loving God, we would love for those words to always be on our lips, in and out of every season, in and out of our every moment, for who you are and for all that you have done and all that you are doing. Praise be to you, our Lord and our God. And God, we would just name in this particular season, in this Advent, as we wait with eager expectation, and soon to come Christmas, as we rejoice in your coming, we would love for those words to be on our lips. And even so, God, we confess in the busyness, in the stress, in the distractions, and in the many other concerns that rest upon our hearts, there's a lot going on. So we would pray your Spirit would be at work within us, that we could join Zechariah in his song this day, and we too could sing, praise be to the Lord. As we study this passage, we've named several of the things that we can give you praise for, God, and we know there's lots and lots of other things as well. And there's also things that are of concern in our hearts, and so we want to lift those things to you today in prayer as a faith community. God, we thank you and we praise you for the warmth of this space, the warmth of a home from the bitter cold. And we pray for those who are lacking such shelter and that they would find safety. We praise you for safety and travel in these already, multiple time, winter conditions. And we ask, God, that you would give safety to the many, many, many miles that we put on the roads in the upcoming weeks. God, we praise you for healing that is taking place, for good test results coming in. And we pray for those who have recently received diagnoses and who are battling chronic ailments. God, we praise you today that the National Guard soldier in Syria that is connected to our congregation is safe. But our hearts ask for comfort and peace for the family and friends of those killed yesterday. God, we praise you for the time together in this season with family and friends and the relationships that are such a blessing for us. And we also know, God, that in this season it can be a difficult time. There's family stress. There's differences that create tension. There's missing a loved one. there's estranged relationships, and so we pray for peace to surround. God, there's so much that we want to give you praise for today. Just even this day, as we talked about the program and the fundraiser and all that is a part of this day, we're grateful for it all. And we also name there's a lot of other things that are also heavy on our hearts. And so in all of it, in every moment of every day, in every aspect of our lives, we want to name, God, that you are a good, loving, holy God. You are the sovereign God of heaven and earth. And so in all things, we trust in you. We trust in the one who has come and who has redeemed his people. To you be all the glory and all the praise. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.